Hi, and welcome to the Calvary Chapel Baltimore Sermon Podcast with our senior pastor, Josh Plantholt. So glad you could join us today. Calvary is located in the White Marsh area just outside Baltimore. If you're nearby, come join us. For directions, service times, and live stream, go to our website at calvarychapelbaltimore.org. And now, here's this week's teaching.
Okay, I thank the worship team, although I do have a gripe with them. Friday night, I went and I tried out for the worship team. Need I say, before I even sang a note, Maureen says, uh-uh. I've been rejected, but this is bad. But I will tell you this, I learned something. They don't have an ear for talent. They don't. But sorry, one day they're gonna call me and I ain't gonna answer. So we'll just let it go at that. Okay. All right. Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to Colossians chapter 3? And I was wondering, what am I going to share today? Because there's so many things going on. And we hear so much bad news now. I said, well, what about some good news? You know, why you turn on the TV, everything is terrible. You know, it's like, all your emotions are running wild. You get angry. You get depressed. You don't even want to put the TV on. You don't want to know what's going on in the world. But, you know, I just try my best just to get little snippets of it so I know what's going on and what to pray for. But it is depressing to hear what's going on in the world. And so, you know, I just wanted to mention that we have home groups. For those of you who are new here and you're old and you've never been to the home group, you know, we meet different times. And every Wednesday at Pastor John and Maureen's house, at 7 o'clock on Wednesday, there's a home group. Every Wednesday. And I went last Wednesday. John just started the book of 1 Corinthians, if you're interested in that. And then he alternates with Pastor Mark. Mark teaches the opposite Wednesday, and he's doing Esther, the book of Esther. Now, then we also have a home group on Friday nights. The first and third Friday night, we meet at Frank's house. We haven't determined what we're going to teach yet, but it will be soon. And then we have the second and fourth Friday at Debbie and Dwayne's. And I'm teaching that, and I just said, what can I teach on that would really bless people, you know, encourage? And I said, you know, I'm going to just start talking a series on heaven. You know, we don't hear a lot about heaven. I wonder if anybody even thinks about heaven. You know, I wonder how many Christians really stop in the course of their week and start to ponder, what is heaven really like? You know, most Christians don't know what heaven's like at all. If you ask a Christian, they think it's, you know, you're all sitting around on a lawn singing Kumbaya or something. And it's not, we don't know that. Most people just don't know what heaven's about. It's far deeper than we can imagine. And so I just thought today, I'd kind of do a little introduction on heaven. Because I think, hey, if you're a Christian, you're going there. You know, I remember one time I preached on heaven years ago here. And what I started with, I'm just going to say it again because it's interesting. If you were going to plan a vacation to Hawaii, I bet you would contact every, you know, place that you can get brochures on Hawaii, every travel agent. You'd be sending for them all the time. You get all these things. You call every airport, find out what flights are, how much they are. When can I go? How many days can I go? What's the best hotel? Where's the best food? Who has the best sites? Everything. I mean, you'd go nuts. I may have to work overtime in order to do it, but I'm going to tell you, I want to cover all bases, all for just 7 or 10 days in your life going to Hawaii. Well, we're going to heaven. And you know what? We got a brochure right here. I don't know how many of you ever read it, but I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of stuff in here about heaven. You know, it's not just some place we say, well, that's where my mom and dad and my brothers, you know, everyone, that's where they are. Well, what is that? Where is that? Well, I don't know. It's up there. That's all I know is it's up there somewhere is where heaven is. Well, heaven is in the third heaven. Probably most of you know that. You know, the first heaven obviously is this little canopy around our earth where we can breathe, where birds can fly and all these kind of things. Then we have the stellar heaven where all the sun and the moon and the stars and the planets and all of that is. Then the third heaven is where God is. And the third heaven is also where all our loved ones that are Christian are right now. What are they? Is heaven boring? What is going on in heaven? So I just began to think, well, I'm tired of bad news. I want to hear something good. And I can't think of a better thing for Christians than to talk about heaven. Man, you know, listen to these verses we're going to read in Colossians 3, first two verses. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things on earth. Most of us, this is our vision. We're like, it's not this way, it's this way. And we probably spend most of our time thinking about what am I going to buy? What am I going to do? Where am I going to get my hair done? And what am I going to get this and that? And we're just occupied with all the details of life. And we never stop and think, what is heaven? If I were to ask each one of you alone, what is heaven? I wonder what you would tell me. I wonder how much you know about heaven. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, I think it's so important that we do. Because I know that until I became a Christian, I didn't know anything about heaven. I didn't even know how to get there. Thank God I know how to get there now. But, you know, what does God have in store for us when this life is over? I have a book and I wrote this out. It says, the best of life on earth is a glimpse of heaven. The worst life is a glimpse of hell. For Christians, this present life is the closest For Christians, this present life is the closest that we will ever come to hell. For unbelievers, it is the closest that they will come to heaven. Think about that. We ain't going to get any closer to hell for us, man, because this is it. Whatever bad things happen, that's it. So what? But for us unbelievers, enjoy it, man. Because this is about as close to heaven as you'll ever get. You got to really give this some thought. And I'm going to, at the end of this, I'm going to pray and ask if you haven't been born again or born from above, had a spiritual birth with Jesus, I guess you ain't going to heaven. No, the saints go to heaven. The ain'ts don't. If you're an ain't, you ain't going. Thank God for saints. Those are set apart, and we will go to heaven. I think about that, and I'm like, wow. You know, Ecclesiastes 3:11 says this, God has placed eternity in the heart of man. That's why if you look at all religions believe in some form of afterlife. Now, it's all different. Now, if you want to come back as a gnat or a buffalo or something, there's religions for that. There's all kinds of religions. They have weird things, weird ways to get there and the weird things that happen when you do get there. But we're the only ones that have the truth. We're the only ones that make a way to a place that we can hardly, we have to use our imagination. Because I love to use my imagination when I read the Bible. And, you know, even like when Jesus is with his disciples and the boat is sinking. I'm there with them and I'm shouting the loudest, wake up, Jesus, all in my head. I try to use my imagination when I read the Bible. Going back in time, what was it like? What did they experience? Why and what? And of course, with heaven, we have to really use our experience, you know, our thoughts, our imaginations. So I just, for a few minutes, wanted to talk a little bit about heaven. You know, Mark 8 tells us in verse 36 and 37, is, for what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and then lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? How important is it? That's why, it's not just, oh, well, let's just talk about heaven and just, you know, so what? No, I'm telling you, really, we all set our mind on things above. That's what we really have to do, especially in the time that we live in now. I mean, it's terrible. It's terrible. And you know, whether we're Christians or not, if we're not focused in on the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, being filled with the Holy Spirit, this world can do a lot of damage to us. I see a lot of Christians that just can't cope. There are a lot of churches, you know, they don't even teach about heaven, because a lot of what heaven has, as we're going to see in a moment as we turn to the book of Revelation, that much of heaven is in Revelation 21 and 22. God speaks a lot in Revelation about heaven, and we're just going to kind of look at it for a few minutes. I think it's, you know, I got this written down. I don't know why I just popped. I don't know if you've ever heard of Dante's Inferno. Well, I never read it, but I got out my Google yesterday. I don't know why I just popped it. I just put it in and see what it is. And it's a whole thing about different sins that people do. But there was one thing that really struck me. It says that before you go into the door of heaven, and granted, it's printed above there, it says, abandon every hope, all ye who enter in. Abandon all hope. Man, that's not the message I need to hear. I don't think the world needs to hear. Right now, it seems like it's hopeless, probably to many people. But can you imagine going through it? Ain't no turning back. You go through that doorway, you're done. No hope. How many hopeless? How many funerals have you gone to, and I've seen where you're going, it's so hopeless. You know, you had to do a funeral, especially if you're the one doing the funeral. When it's a Christian, it's wonderful. It's almost like a celebration, and you can talk. But when the person, no one knows, or maybe they know, he's probably in hell, what do you tell people? Well, I can't talk about you, buddy, but I can certainly talk about Jesus and give people hope. But what a sad thing to go to these funerals, and those are people, no hope. Yeah, what a life that is, with no hope of ever seeing your loved ones again. But praise God, we have that because of what Jesus did. You know, in Philippians chapter 1, Paul says this, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. To gain. I mean, then it goes on in verse 22, and Paul says, you know, if I stick around here, you know, I will produce some fruit for my labor. But he says, I'm still between two. I'm between a rock and a hard place. I want to stay here, but I know this, to be with Christ is far, far better. If we know what's ahead, we would really be excited. But so many Christians have no idea after they die what's in store. They know not a thing about heaven. Carry on about a 2-second conversation. Yeah, heaven's up there. That's the end of it. So I wanted to say, I want to do the home group. I want to just go through heaven, because there's a lot of things to say about heaven that we don't know about. So I thought it would be interesting if we do that. What else is, you know, what does heaven make you think of? It makes you think of how temporal our life is. You know, James tells us that, and he asks the question, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Can you imagine? I mean, I'm at that place where I know, I look back at my life and I go, you got to be kidding me. Seems like yesterday, man, I was playing basketball and I was running like a maniac, and I was like, man, I was living. At least I thought I was living, and I was dying. I didn't know it. But, you know, it's so different. All of a sudden, you're in another place, and you look back in your life, and you go, how did I get here? I'm amazed I'm even alive today. I shouldn't be alive, but I am. And I'm like, I just thank God every day for the grace of getting up in the morning and doing something. So I just, well, what can I talk about with heaven? Turn to a book of Revelation, if you would, in chapter 21. Because there's so many things we don't know about the future of heaven, when our time is up, and what's going on. We'll begin reading in verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And I love these words. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There will be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he says something, Jesus says something really, I love this. This is like the capstone. Remember in John chapter 14, he told his disciples, he says, listen, I'm going away, but I want you to know I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. He says, if that wasn't true, I wouldn't tell you that. But it's true. I want you to know this is absolutely true, that I will be back. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And listen to what Jesus wants written. He says, then he who sat on a throne said, behold, he's telling John, behold, I make all things new. And then he says this, and he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. It's truth. He says, what you read here and what Jesus is telling John to write, he says, write it down because I want them to know this is absolutely true. And it's faithful. I love that when I look at it and say, everything I look at in this book is true. Even if it's a lie, it's a truthful lie. Right? It's in here. It's got to be the truth. But what an encouragement. This is why it's important that we read the Word every day and think on things and think on the things above. You'll be surprised how it's going to change your attitude when you start thinking about heaven and not this place here. What's nice about here is you come in here and forget about what's going on out there. Believe me, you know, it's so hard to do that. But right here we have it that all the tears are going to be washed away. Imagine, no more death, no more hospitals, no more divorce, no more bills. Just think how life is going to change, what it's going to be like. I love this. You know, I think about heaven and it just builds me up. But there are some things about it that maybe we don't really hear very often. And I thought maybe I'd just touch on a couple of things. Let's see, what time is it? So just think about this. There are probably terms that as Christians, many people have never heard. Like, look back on verse 1 on this, in chapter 21. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Well, I never knew that. I don't know about you, but I never knew there was going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Well, what is this place? What is this new heaven? What's happening? What's wrong with the old one? Huh? What's wrong with the old heaven? Not only that, you go down further, it says there's going to be a new Jerusalem. What's wrong with the old Jerusalem? What is all this stuff? This is all about the future. This is all about our heaven, where we're going and what we're going to be doing. And I bet most Christians never heard that there's going to be a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem, and that's where we're going to spend eternity with God. God's going to leave the heaven he's in right now and come and live on earth with us. I never heard that. Well, read the Bible. It's there. I'm not saying something that's not here. It's here. But see, that's why it's important for us to get into it and begin to look at what is heaven. Man, if you're going to Hawaii and you can buy brochures and do all kinds of things to go someplace for 7 to 10 days, how about looking where you're going to spend eternity? It's your home. You're a citizen, Paul says, of this place. We're citizens of heaven. We're just passing on through here. But how much do we know about our home? And that's what I really want to hope to do at the home group is we talk about this place that we're going to in more detail and more things about the millennium. Well, what is the millennium? I don't know. What is it? The Bible says there's a millennium. There's a lot of things in the Bible we look at and we go, or you don't look at and you don't know because you don't look at the Bible and find out what it is. It's so important. It'll change your attitude. Because I wonder how many Christians walk around every day saying, I don't know if I'm going to heaven. When I was pastoring a church in England, I had this gal that came to church. Every single service, and she'd come up to me and go, Pastor Bob, I don't think I'm going to heaven. I said, sit down. Yes, you are. No, I didn't say that to her, but it's, you know, you want to. Because all the time, it was just repetitive. I'm not going to heaven. Yes, you are. Just the fact that you're concerned about whether you're going to heaven or not tells me you care, and you are going to heaven. You know, and a lot of people never settle that question. And for me, it's probably one thing that I got settled years ago. Is, you know what? I'm going to heaven. I don't. You can't convince me I'm not. Because it's true. I believe God. God's not an Indian giver. He's not going to give me eternal life and then take it away and then give it to me and take it away. What he gives me is forever. He said, I have eternal life. What does that mean? I have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I have everlasting life. And if you believe in Jesus, so do you. If you don't, abandon every hope, ye that enter in. Don't be somebody going there. We want to go there. I mean, we sit here and we wait for the, what would they call the rapture, right? In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we're going up. And when we go up, what do we get? We get a new glorified body. We get a lot of things new. A new body, a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem. I didn't know all these things existed until I read the Bible. And I heard people teaching. I'm like, I never heard this stuff before. It's all foreign to me. So, you know, if you're new here and you were never taught it, I hope you'll come and learn. It's a great place to learn, to ask questions. And I wouldn't have every answer, but just to think and talk about something so wonderful as heaven. Man, I want to know more. I want to know more and more and more about where I'm going to spend eternity and who I'm going to spend. I can imagine when I get to heaven, there's going to be some of you probably squinting. Is that you, Bob? Yeah. Geez, I didn't expect to see you here. Well, that's funny. I was thinking the same thing about you. Well, we're going to see people in heaven that we probably just, I mean, I can't imagine. I will be in heaven. That is a, you know, a great thought that I will be in heaven. And what's even greater, I sit sometimes by myself and I just think about how much God loves me. I get overwhelmed with that. It breaks me. I think of all the people on the face of this earth, I'm one of those that God loves. It just, and my mind just can't even conceive that. I just have to take it, like everything, by faith. But it just blows my mind that God loves me. That he wants me to spend eternity with him. You know, in Psalm 116 and verse 15, it says this, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. You know that? God says our death is precious to him. Why? Because we're going home. He's waiting for us. It just blows me away. I remember the time I talked one time on heaven here, and I thought of Kenny, and I didn't, you know, forgot to add this in, but I'm adding it in this time. You get raptured, we get a new body. Kenny can't see, okay? But can you imagine when he can see, the first person he's going to see is Jesus. Praise God. Imagine that for the first time that you have sight physically, you'll see Jesus. He sees nothing right now, but he's got spiritual eyes, I'll tell you that. And he sees Jesus by faith. He sees a lot more than probably a lot of Christians. Because he has to live a lot by faith. We see things. He can't see things. But in his heart and mind, he sees things we don't see. But to think, to see, what first person we're going to see is Jesus. You got to be kidding me. Huh? Think about that. You know, there's a thing called the beatific vision. I remember I talked about this once before. It's a Latin word. It means a happy-making sight. A happy-making sight. And a beatific vision is that we will see the face of God. You know, in Exodus 33, Moses is talking to God, and he says, listen, we're going to go into this land you promised, but we want you to lead us. And Moses says, you know, God says, yeah, I'll lead you. And, but he says, you know, Moses says one thing, I want to see your glory, though. I want to see your glory. And God says, uh-uh. You can't see my good face. Because he says, if you see my face, you will die. So he said, God says to him, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to put you in the cleft of a rock, and I'm going to put my hand over you. And I'm going to go by. And when I go by, after that, I'll take my hand away, and you can see my backside. So he saw the afterglow. He saw the He couldn't see the face of God. Because could you imagine the Shekinah glory of God's face? You can't live if you looked at it because it's so bright and glorious. And I don't know. Again, my imagination, I can't fathom. You have to look in this, and you can't do it because in this body, I die. When I get to heaven, I think it's Revelation 22:4 says that we will see the face of God. We will see. We will see God in all of his splendor. All of his splendor. Nothing will be hidden. It'll be, I can't imagine sitting in a place in heaven and there's no sin. There's not a bad thought goes into our mind about anybody. And the atmosphere is just drenched with love, joy, and peace. Isn't that the first three things of the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, and peace. Can you imagine to it? Just think about when you felt exhilarated or you know, when we're young and we fall in love time after time after time. You know, this is the one. This is the one. And you experience those highs, you know. I can't wait to see her. Oh, God, I just can't. Then you see her, and after a while, I go, see you. But isn't it, we do. Think about those emotional, those experiences you have when you think you're really, oh, man, this is it. I've never felt like this about anybody in my life, honey. Except, but isn't that true? You have these highs, so to speak. And then you come down from them. But can you imagine being in so much love 24/7? Just love, joy, and peace constantly. Never, never ending. So these are the kind of things that we, in our fallen state here, in this, you know, little finite body of mine, we can't comprehend fully what all of that means. Because other thoughts come in to try to drown those thoughts out of our head. There's always something to draw us away. That's the problem. That's why it's important that we think on things above. Because there's so much around us, we don't see it in the airwaves, but there's negativity coming at us day and night here. This is where the battle's going on. It's just all nonstop. My kids, my husband, my wife, my work, my job, my country. And it's just, it's nonstop. The Bible says a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if you think you're a loser, well, you're going to be a loser. But if you're a winner, you're going to think, you'll think like a winner. You watch people who are great at what they do. They're confident. Muhammad Ali never failed. I am the greatest. He's not, but he thought he was. And he won a few fights in his time. But we all have confidence. Hey, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I got to have that confidence in me because God said that. God said it. There's one thing that I, you know, you have the benefit of when you're up in a pulpit is you see people the way they worship. You know, so because some people's idea of heaven is it's just one big service. You just worship 24/7. That's all we're going to do. We're going to sing, 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 sing. That's all we're doing. You always have people who are like that. They go like, oh, man, come on. There's people that sit out there that can't wait for worship to be over. That's true. You think I'm kidding? You should stand up here sometime and look out. You see people and you look at their countenance. Man, you see some people, man. Oh man, this is hands are up, eyes are closed, tears are running down their face, man. It's like we're in heaven already. Then you look at some other and they're looking around and they got that face on them like no joy. Like this is painful. Because you can read people. I have the benefit of standing up here and looking out. You go, oh my God, you gotta be kidding me. You know, you see sometimes people sleeping, and you find people having conversations. You just learn to handle that. I used to, when I first learned to preach, I used to look at the back wall so that I can't see anybody's face. Now, I dare you to say, I will be looking out, and I will call on you by name, because I will see you. I don't worry about looking at anybody's face or what they think of me or anything. It doesn't bother me anymore. I'm past that. Somebody's always going to think something about you, aren't they? It could be good, it could be bad, it could be indifferent. But I know what God thinks of me, and that's what's really important. And that's what we all need to do. But, you know, and I'm thinking about seeing the face of the Lord, and I can't imagine somebody who doesn't like to worship. If I were a gambling man, I would bet everything I have that the person who doesn't like to worship here, when he meets Jesus, that's over. He'll want to worship forever. I wrote this down. This is from J.I. Packer, who's a British theologian, and he said this. He says, hearts on earth may say in the course of joyful experience. Now think about this. Think about the time that you were in a service and the worship was so great, or you've gone to a Christian concert and there's thousands of people. And man, everybody's charged up. I'll tell you, the hands are up, everybody's singing. And you look around, and man, it's wonderful. So he says this. He says, say in the course of a joyful experience, and how many times has this ever happened with you? I don't want this ever to end. Hmm? but invariably it does. Now, the hearts of those in heaven say, I want this to go on forever, and it will. What a difference going to heaven it's going to be. You're going to want to worship, and you say, I don't want this to end. And guess what? It's not. Doesn't mean we're going to be doing this all the time. Obviously not. I'm not going to get into it tonight, but in the home groups I will. But we'll be in heaven. We'll be there. We'll be serving. People never stop and think we'll be serving. There'll be the millennial period in which we will come to earth, and we will reign with the Lord for 1,000 years. Who knows? I mean, I may be a mayor of a city. Baltimore. But just stop and think. I don't know, but we will reign with the Lord on the earth. God has a purpose. It doesn't all. There's so much involved in when we talk about heaven that it just blows your mind. You got to just do it a bit at a time and really think about it. Think about this: a new Jerusalem. Let me take a drink of water here because this is scary. The New Jerusalem, the Bible said, is 1,500-mile cube. Just think, a 1,500-mile cube. And it's going to come, the New Jerusalem is coming down from heaven, and it's going to land on the new heaven and new earth. 1,500 miles square on the bottom. This is the thing, 1,500 miles high. 1,500 miles high. And somebody did the math, you know. He says, "Well, let's use what a skyscraper is. Usually, the ceiling is probably 12 feet high. Okay, so we'll do that. We'll figure that into this 1,500 miles, and that means there'll be 660,000 floors. 660,000 floors, and the floor measurement will be 220 million square feet. I have dibs on the top floor because that's the penthouse. But can you imagine? We'll be by where we have space stations. Now we have one at 220 miles from Earth. We're going way past that. You just kind of like envision. What kind of a place? But you know the beautiful thing is, I mean, I thought about it in an earthly sense. It can't be any elevators. It'll take you years. If you're down on the third floor and you want to see something on the top floor, man, you'll be real old by the time you get up there. But can you imagine? We'll have the new glorified bodies like Jesus. I want to visit so-and-so. Guess what? I'm there. All these things about heaven, you're like, man, my mind just goes on and on and on. But you know what? It's all here. All of it's here. We just need to take time to really look at it. And when we do, we'll begin to change inside. Our attitude, we'll be able to cope with things a lot better when we stop and think about how beautiful heaven really is. So I want us to just enjoy our trip to heaven. I hope you'll come, John and Maureen's home group, Frank and Darlene's, and Debbie and Dwayne's home group. That's the second. We'll start on heaven, and we're just going to take each section at a time and expound on it and just learn and know more about where we're going, where our home is. Man, if we can get excited about going somewhere on this planet for a week, and where we're going is far better than Hawaii. Imagine there's going to be a new earth, and we'll be in new bodies, and a lot of things, commentaries I've read is that our eyesight will be so perfect. And the colors we will see in the new the new earth, flowers, and they'll be more bright than we've ever seen them. And this is the other thing about the new Jerusalem. It has a wall. And the wall goes around it, and it has gates, gates made of pearl. And then in the layers of the foundation are all these different colored stones, you know, gems. And I says, imagine what it's like. You take a walk, because you can walk out of the city and go walk around the new earth. And you're coming back from your walk. All of a sudden, you come up over a rise. And there's the city. And all these gems, the light is just shooting all over the place. And the only light that's there is the light of Jesus and his Father. That's the only light. There's no moon. But these gems, all you'll see is these colors just. And we'll be in awe. We'll be in awe. You've got to use your imagination reading this, because we haven't been there yet, but we will. But what a glorious home. What a glorious future we have. And here's the travel brochure right here. Tells us all about, and you know what's even the greatest thing about it? It's free. Imagine, it's free. It costs Jesus, but we get it free. But I'm going to tell you something. Those of you, you know, if we think about it, here's the life of Jesus in here. And there's four things that happen. One is the incarnation, the birth of Jesus. The second one is the cross. The third one is the resurrection, and the fourth great thing is the ascension. The incarnation can't save us. The resurrection can't save us. The ascension can't save us. But the cross can save us. See, we as sinners have to come face to face with the Savior. We have to go to, you can't skirt around the cross, because it's there that Jesus died and paid the penalty for your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world. You have to come as a sinner to be confronted by your Savior. And Jesus is the only Savior. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. It doesn't change. So, We're gonna sing, and after we're done singing, I'm gonna pray, and I'm just gonna ask those of you who have never made a decision for Christ, or you're not really sure, you've been wishy-washy, and you want, you know, I'm gonna pray that you just receive Jesus today, as you were. But Jesus, the Bible says you must be born again, born from above, a spiritual birth. It's not an option. You must be. And there's gonna be a couple of people standing over here that'll pray with you. They'll answer questions. They'll give you a Bible, whatever you need. But don't pass up making the greatest decision you can ever make in your lifetime. It bars nothing else in your life. I don't care what it is. Receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior is the greatest. So I want to pray that some of you will do that today.
Thanks so much for joining us for today's message from Calvary Chapel, Baltimore. The Word of God transforms us, and we hope you've been blessed by today's teaching. Please keep in touch. Send us an email with your questions, prayer requests, or just to say hi. We love to hear from you. Our email address is calvarychapelbaltimore@verizon.net, or give us a call at 410-574-7528. If you'd like to make a donation to support the work God is doing through Calvary Baltimore, go to calvarychapelbaltimore.org and click Donate. And if you're in the Baltimore area, stop by. For directions and service times, go to our website at calvarychapelbaltimore.org. Finally, if you're unable to come see us in person, we also have live stream on our website and on our Facebook page. We hope you've been blessed by this week's teaching. Until next time, keep drawing closer to God through the reading of His Word. And join us again for the next Calvary Chapel Baltimore Sermon Podcast.